Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Here we go. Isaiah chapter 61, New Living Translation, which does not do it exactly like I would like, but I will correct that. Verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. Verse 3, to all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted of his own glory. Father, before you tonight, we pray, come by your Spirit. What an appropriate text as Wally goes out to have revival across America. Jesus in Luke 4 said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. God, you are upon us to proclaim good news tonight. Have your way. May we never be the same. Let every man and woman and child be brought low. May sin be exposed. May people be set free. May broken hearts be healed. May captives be loosed. May prison doors, Lord, they're opened already. May the captives realize that deliverance is available tonight, that they don't have to go back home the same way that they came in. Pour out your Spirit tonight. The fatness of the kingdom. Your anointing, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to the person on the right and the left and say, I am so glad I came to church on Wednesday night. Sorry ahead of time to my camera guys. Coming down. If you're over 50 and you can't jump like that, that means you need to get exercise. You can take care of yourself. I'm not going to crack a joke. I'm serious. If that hurt you while I was jumping off. Wow. God's good. The Lord's good. I love that last part. Become like oaks. They'll be like great oaks. Anybody ever seen a great oak tree? We don't have them in Alaska, I don't think. I grew up with great oak trees and acorns. We used to have acorn fights. Anybody know what an acorn fight is? Awesome. You can chuck those things, man. They're so beautiful. You do know that an oak tree is just a nut that held on.
Come on.
Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say, God, I want to be a great oak tree. In the Spirit. I, as many of you know, I've lived in a lot of different areas. I grew up in New York. And I lived in California. And from there, I went to Washington, lived in the Seattle area. And I eventually ended up in Hawaii, and I lived in Hawaii for a total of 14 years. This text towards the final part here, New Living Translation, verse 3, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. But the New King James and the King James retain its real... the real language there. a spirit of despair or a spirit of heaviness. And I've preached on it before. Living in Hawaii, as I was saying, it's always amazing to me that people would get depressed in Hawaii. Well, how do you get to, I mean, I did an Instagram post today on one of my stories. I did sunrise at, I think it was 11:15, and I did the sunset, which was at like 12:30, 12:15. So I saw the sun rising, and then an hour later, I did the sunset just to let people know, quit whining, for God's sake. Somebody said, how can you take all that darkness? But many people are heavy. Many people are in despair. And you listen, you move to Arizona all you want. You're still going to be there everywhere you go. And a spirit of despair or heaviness or depression can come on you, whether you're in the sunshine or whether you're in need of vitamin D. You say, well, it's Alaska. I'm just depressed. No, you need to have to learn. You need to learn how to overcome, learn how to walk in anointing, learn how to walk in favor, learn how to walk in blessing, learn how to walk overcoming every obstacle, every challenge, every fiery dart, learn how to live a life unoffended. You know, it's good to see our beloved Joe Hickel here, who celebrated the final year of the Marina Christmas, I got it right? Marina Christmas Village, 45 years, been making the gingerbread village at the Captain Cook Hotel. And you've been making it for 45, I mean, you don't even look 45 years old. See, that's a sign of the goodness of God right there. And we were there and saw them present to you at that award. And I got a little card for you I want to give you. I think the thing that's amazing to me is through your faithfulness and consistency, as I was getting out of my car, I saw somebody from the church. They said, oh, we're here to see the village. We come every year. People come from all over, from Fairbanks, from all over. They drive, they'll go to the Captain Cook with the kids to see the gingerbread village, and this was the final year, 45 years. Thank you for ministering to our state. Thank you for ministering to so many families. We love you. And the testimonies of God touching people through that, and you could take the mic and testify the rest of the night. God will always bring you through.
Amen.
But you need to learn how to walk in power, walk in authority. You need to learn how to walk in freedom. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. No notes for you, hallelujah. Unless you take your own, which I pray you do. A spirit of depression, a spirit of heaviness. Joy, listen, joy is what should be in your life mostly. If you don't have joy in your life, you gotta ask yourself what happened. Now, we go through seasons of grief, but it's more than environment. This is a prophetic word, if I could teach you just for a moment. It's a prophetic word concerning what the Messiah would do out of the book of Isaiah, which is probably one of my favorite books. Again, I say that every time I preach, but Isaiah is so profound. It has a very clear, like Old Testament and New Testament. It has 66 different chapters, just like 66 different books in the Bible. And it is so profound and filled with prophetic insight and revelation, and especially concerning the Messiah. So Isaiah 61 is the text that Jesus reads in Luke chapter 4. And why don't you go there? Go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Well, I'll paraphrase it. He reads the same text, but he stands up. And whether it was the appointed time to read Luke 4 or he asked for it, we don't know, but it was specifically selected by Jesus, my hero, my savior, the Lord, the Messiah. It was specifically selected by him or given to him providentially to read. And when he reads it, he says, he finishes, and they stand for the reading of the word, which is one of the reasons we stand right from that text, Luke 4. And after he finishes reading, he says, this text is fulfilled in your hearing. So there's no mistake about what Jesus is saying. He's saying, this text is written about me. This is me. And in actual fact, it's him saying it in Isaiah 61. He has sent me. The Lord has anointed me. He has sent me. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. It's the Messiah talking. That's the understanding of that. He is the anointed one. And it's a picture of dramatic change that takes place. You say, well, that's talking about Jesus, and what does that mean for me? Well, if you're born again, it means the anointed one lives on the inside of you. It means that you don't have to have a broken heart because of what he's done. It doesn't mean, it goes to listen, good news to the poor, to proclaim, to testify, to declare, to trout. I've got a whole bunch of definitions here. It's really pretty awesome. If you read through what it means to proclaim, to declare, to preach. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He's put his power on me. The Holy Spirit is on me. He made me fat so that I could preach good tidings or good news to the poor. What is good news to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more. What is good news to the brokenhearted? You don't have to be brokenhearted anymore. What is good news to those that are in prison? Eric, wherever you are, did the rapture take place? Good news to those in prison. Or you don't have to be in prison anymore. Amen. It's a statement by the Messiah, a prophetic word of Isaiah 61, fulfilled in Jesus, testifying it to it in Luke chapter 4, that you don't have to stay in a place of destitution. You don't have to stay in the place of Lodabar. You don't have to stay in the place of brokenness. You don't have to stay addicted to your pornography problem. We have children in here. Raise your hand if you have kids next to you. Little ones, babies. Okay, just plug their ears. No, I'm kidding. Some of you have addictions and you think it's all right and the Lord just winks at you. I'm telling you, there's a place where you don't have to be addicted to your porn anymore. You don't have to be addicted to, yes, Lord. You know, one of the things the Lord spoke to me recently, Dr. Morocco was here and he said, oh, it's wonderful how your congregation's so gracious with you.
Praise the Lord.
I'm like, yeah, amen. I thought about it for a second. Like, what did he mean by that? He doesn't just say things. So I'm praying days later, Molly. And I'm in that dream vision state that I practice staying in. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like when I'm waking up, but I don't wake up. I hold back. And then the Lord shows me lots of stuff right there. And I hear Dr. Morocco's voice. Your congregation is so gracious to you. I'm thinking, Lord? He's like, you need to be kinder. And I thought, okay. So just to let you in on a little inside thing for Pastor Daniel is sometimes things go through my head that I want to say, and I'm going to hold back a little bit. Unless, of course, I don't, and then we'll just enjoy that as the Lord does whatever he wants with that. Come on, lift your hands to Jesus. You don't have to smoke weed anymore. The Lord did tell me to say that. Yes, he did. You don't have to smoke weed anymore. You don't have to be addicted to pornography. You don't have to be a jerk anymore. Listen, if you gave your heart to Jesus and you're still mean, you might need to get saved again. Maybe you didn't get saved. He'll change you. He'll transform you. He'll pull out the heart of stone. He puts in the heart of flesh. Say, well, I just can't help myself. No, yes, you can. I've told this story. I tell it to the youth. Young man was having a hard time not keeping his hand, putting his hands on one of the youth girls. And he asked the youth pastor, this is a fictitious story. How many of you know what fictitious means? It's an illustration. Although it seems like it probably happened somewhere. So he asked the youth pastor, hey, I'm having a hard time with lust and Susie Q over here. He's like, well, that's because you don't have the fear of the Lord. He says, what do you mean? He says, well, you know who Susie Q's dad is? Oh, yeah. Mr. John the Hunter. Exactly. Now, if he knew that you were putting his hands on him and on his daughter, how do you think he would like that? That'd be bad. So just imagine for a moment, the next time you go to put your hands on her, Mr. John the Hunter sticks his shotgun in your ear. How hard a time do you think you'd have putting your hands back in your pocket? He said, I have no problem. Exactly. You don't have the fear of the Lord. You have a fear of Mr. John the Hunter, but you don't have the fear of the Lord. You don't understand what you're doing. He's going to curse you, curse that girl, mess that girl up. She's not yours. She don't belong to you. Let's have a praise break. You can be set free. This text is a powerful picture of being set free. Brokenhearted healed. The bound set free. If you've come in here with bondage, you can leave loosed. You can leave free. God's favor and justice has come. It's a beautiful picture of turning mourning. Verse 2, he sent to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. I want you to turn to somebody and say, the time of the Lord's favor has come. Come on, turn to somebody else and say, I got favor. You got favor? Become great oaks, beauty for ashes, joyous blessing or instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair, a spirit of despair, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness is another way to say it. We used to sing a song. I know Minister Micah knows it. It's old. It's an old song. Some of you might know it. Put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh my. Pastor Vince coming through. A garment of praise. I like that better than the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation is in today's English and it just doesn't do it right there. And when you look in the original Greek, the original Hebrew here, it just doesn't do it at all. I guess it clearly says a spirit of heaviness or a spirit of despair. So it's literally a spirit. There can be a spirit of depression that you need to backhand with the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of the Word. I just don't do depression. I got depressed once a few years ago for a couple hours. Oh, I did. No, really. And then the Lord's like, what are you doing? I don't know. What are you doing? I don't know. You don't have time for that. I was like, what? He says, you have no time for that. And I was all, got no time for it. Some of you, God speaks to you through his word, speaks to you in certain, speaks to you in circumstances, speaks to you in prayer. And you're like, no, I'm sad. I was at the doctor and they told me my vitamin D level is really low. And I was gonna mealy mouth, stop! Okay, there is low vitamin D according to Dr. David, who's in the back, isn't that right? And that does affect you. But there is also a spirit of depression. Look at Psalm 1. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. His leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he doth, I went for the King James right there. I couldn't do the New Living Trend, just couldn't do it. Whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Come on, someone say, when I do stuff, it's gonna prosper. It is God's intention to turn everything for good in your life. It's God's intention for you to walk in joy. Yes, weeping endures for a night. There is loss. There is grief. There's a healthy way to respond. I'm learning things. I was saying to Pastor Gil today as we drove to Anchorage, I'm learning. I'm learning what it is to have a healthy family. We didn't know that. I didn't have a family that was healthy to see the cycle. You know what I mean by that? I'm 57. Feel like I'm 25. You said, you look at two. I'm like, that's right. Come on, son. I've lived long enough where my kids are now adults, they're serving God. My daughter just got married and came home for Christmas with her new husband, who is just a champion, loves God. Stayed in my house downstairs, and it was like normal. It was like righteous and awesome and beautiful. And my family came together, and Christmas was like, it was amazing. It's amazing. Now, you might say, well, that's the way my house is all the time. Okay, that's great. I grew up, that's not the way it was. There were Christmases of heartbreak and despair. There are Christmases of tremendous loss, strife. I spent Christmas in rehabs. I broke my family's heart. That was a long, long time ago in my early 20s. That'll never happen again. And I purposed in my life to make sure that there's patterns and things in my life of the blessing of God. And I'm living long enough. I'm going to have grandchildren. Let's go, Hannah and Derek. Let's go. The Lord's timing. It's going to be amazing. Come on, all the grandparents said, whoa, yeah. I just can't wait to just spoil those children and give them back. Amen. Praise the Lord. I heard about that. You just love on them and bless them and pass them back. Glory to God. It is unusual, this spirit of despair. I'm convinced that one of the strategies of the enemy is to rob you of joy. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of countless others. The enemy wants to rob you of joy. Christians are supposed to be filled with joy. It's to have joy is the Hebrew word is a picture of shining. It's a picture of radiance. To have joy means to shine, to be bright, or to dance around. Joy is a mark of fellowship with God. Let me run that through one more time. In heaven, there's no weeping, there's no sorrow, there's no tears. People aren't just, it's not like that. Apparently, there's half an hour. I could never understand that, Wally. In eternity, there's a half an hour. In the book of Revelation, of silence. It's like eternity, but there's no time and there's a half an hour. But I guess maybe it's a half an hour on the earth. But anyway, some of you might get that on the way home. Joy, joy, joy. Joy is the flag that flies from the heart that has Jesus enthroned. It is an absolute fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, love, joy. J-O-Y. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Gentleness and self-control. Joy. Come on, somebody say joy. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? I got the... So go, so go, so go, so and they caught us on. Donde? And they caught us on. Donde? I'm learning Spanish. I'm on like day 50. Okay. Turn to Psalm 16. I still will never forget. It happened in the old sanctuary, but there was this beautiful couple that came in with their children, and I'm pretty sure they grew up in a very... this is where I'm trying to be nice. Conservative Baptist church kind of thing. Because when they walked in, and it was one of those services, who's one of those services where the place was crackling with power and fire and joy, and the place was just erupting in the power of God. I happened to be greeting people as they were coming in. This is one of my favorite things to do. And when they came in, he grabbed his wife and fell against the sound booth. The children fell and they all grabbed each other. And he said, what the? He just straight, you know, cursed. What the H-E double hockey stick. And I was right there. I said, it's okay. It's okay. What's going on here? I said, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And then we're out of chairs. And so an usher comes up. I said, can you guys just get some more chairs? Yeah, it's okay. It's just people have been set free here. That like a lot of people are on drugs and broken marriages or had cancer or whatever. A lot of problems like we all have, and they've all been set free, so they're excited about it.
Hallelujah.
And he's like, oh. I said, okay, so the chairs were just about. I said, come on. They didn't make it through the whole service. They just got their faces ripped off. God bless them. How do you apologize for joy? No, genuine joy. How do you do that? I don't think you have to. Amen. Psalm 16, verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. Wow. At your right hand is what? Let me just tell you that there are inferior pleasures. What are those? Everything else that's outside of God. Everything else outside of God is an inferior pleasure. And all sin is a wrong attempt to get a real need met. And the enemy substitutes or counterfeits pleasure. Pleasure is not sin. Pleasure, the epicenter of pleasure is the throne. Everybody say the throne is where it came from.
The throne is where it came
from. Okay, so sin, pleasure is not wrong.
Amen.
Come on, Chancey, give me an amen.
Amen.
Pleasure is not wrong. God is the author of. You've been like not even going to say it because you're like just totally blowing up your religious mind right now. Come on, say it again. Say, God is the author of pleasure.
God is the author of pleasure.
Weak sauce right there. That's like Taco Bell hot sauce. That's what that was. Let's try it again. God is the author of.
Pleasure.
Much better. Weak over here. Weak. Let's pray for their healing, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, let's try it again. God is the author of
pleasure.
Yeah, that's the biblical truth. So the devil tries to counterfeit that. He tries to get us to experience. That's what entertainment has done. Entertainment has capitalized on our deep longing to experience the pleasure and the joy of heaven, and has capitalized on that to entertain us, to pull us away from the greater pleasure, the greater reality, the greater, come on, the greater one. The wow factor of entertainment. And John on the island of Patmos, on the day of the Lord, he heard a voice says, come up here and I will show you. That is way better than Star Wars. Well, how come the Lord doesn't show me that? Maybe because you're watching too much Star Wars. Maybe because you're glued to something that's an inferior pleasure. There's got to come a paradigm shift where you're getting satisfied by something more than what's on your screen, for God's sake. Oh. Oh, did I offend you? I'm about to start. So you don't have a real encounter with God because you're pulled off to the right. How do you know? Because I know. You do with food. Maybe you don't do with the screen. Those youth are always on the screens and you're always in the fridge. Amen, Pastor Daniel. I don't know who you're talking about. It's not me, but that's good. Amen. Go to Psalm 35. No, go to Psalm 51. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. Psalm 51. Oh, my soul. Verse 12. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Without giving the details, I was in Hawaii and I took a turn for the worse. I found myself coming to my senses at approximately 6 in the morning in the middle of a kaave forest. How many of you know what kaave is? It's mesquite. It's the same tree. And I was sitting amongst a bunch of homeless people that were there. It's a long time ago. It wasn't last week, so just lighten up. Testimonies are powerful. And I came to my senses. It was Sunday morning, a long, long time ago, long before I met Pastor Karen. Came to my senses, and I began to sing that song. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit. Minister Toby, would you learn that, please? I haven't heard it in decades. The first time through, I had people screaming at me, "Shut up!" But I was so broken. I was weeping, and there was not going to be one person that shut me up. You'd have had to forcibly stop me, and nobody was going to do that. By the time I sang it three times through, there was 10 people left out of 50. They were all weeping, and I led everybody back to Christ and got up and went to church. It's a true story that I've never told in church that I recall. There is a joy that comes in your salvation. And if you've lost it, it's not God's fault. If you've drifted away and maybe you don't even know him like that, well, welcome to Kings. Welcome to anybody who would rightly preach and teach the word of God. You can be set free. You don't have to be addicted. You don't have to be bound. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be wasting your life in despair. He's come to set you free. He's come to deliver you and me. And he's here tonight by his spirit to do it. It's hope for those who've grown hopeless. It's joy for those who are depressed. He's able to help you. Psalm 35. It's 8:17. There's nothing on Netflix that you can't watch later. Verse 27. Pastor Gil, come and read this. I got it for us right here. Psalm 35, verse 27.
Let him shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all day long.
Come on, somebody say, praise the Lord. Come on, somebody say, God takes pleasure in blessing me. Let them shout for joy. Let them shout for joy. The shout of the king. Does anybody know what that is? We've taught on it before. It's when God was with them, there was this shout. A shout of absolute victory, and when the enemy heard it, they just soiled themselves. You see the shout of victory that sounded like the shout of the Lord that the Philistines thought they had when they took the Ark of the Covenant into battle, but God wasn't with them. It's like hanging a cross around your neck when you're not living for God. Oh, it's going to protect you. No, it's not. No, you'll get bit by that vampire with garlic or a cross or whatever you've got around your neck. You're usually going to get bit. Garlic don't work. The blood works. You claim the blood all you want, but if you're living in a place of rebellion, that's not, you're going to have no power. You're going to have no authority. You're defiled. You got to get right. Cindy Jacobs casting the devil out of her own daughter, boyfriend right next to her, both of them in sin. She tells the story. We'll have her up here soon. So they're casting the devil out of the boyfriend, pardon me. And this demon manifests. Some of you don't believe in devils, but you believe in them as soon as you see them. Instantly, you're like, whoa, I guess that's real. Yeah, imagine that. Maybe you have some. Anyway, that wasn't very nice, Pastor Gil. It's also true. Could be, possibly. Could be bound. You could be here, bound tonight. By lust, bound tonight. You could be in a place of prison. Do not leave that way. Don't leave that way. It's about to get real in here. You ready? I mean, it's been real all along, but I'm just saying. Gonna go to another place. Cindy Jacobs, boyfriend, devil. Casting the devil out of the boyfriend. And the boyfriend manifests this. Another voice comes out and points at Cindy Jacobs' daughter and says, you're in sin and you have all kinds of... She goes, I know. Oh, God. She falls on her knees. Cindy Jacobs' daughter repents. God, forgive me. I give my life back to you, Jesus. Please forgive me. I cleanse myself with the blood. Gets up. In the name of Jesus! Comes and lays hands on her, on this boyfriend. They breaks the devil off him. She had no authority because she was in sin with him. Let them shout for joy. There's a shout. I've been in churches where there's a shout. There ain't no power. Looks like revival. Well, there's something else happening. People excited, but it's an excitement of the flesh. I've seen that. Is that here, Pastor? No. Do you have people manifesting in the flesh? Well, of course. That's why there's structure. So I don't know about when people fall out on the carpet or they fall down on the ground. I don't know if that's gone. You know, if you stuck your finger in 223 phase, you know a lot about electric and frequencies and magnetic forces. If I stuck my finger in 223 phase, what would happen to me, Wally?
You'd light up.
You might fall down. When God touches you, you might end up on the ground. That is not a goal. You know the goal of a real changed life is somebody's gotten touched by God. 30 days from now, you're living more like Christ. It's not whether you fell out or not. But I've had times where God's touched me in such a way when I sort of came to, I'm looking at the ceiling. I've had encounters with God where that didn't happen and I was transformed. I am he, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they all fell flat. In the dedication of the temple, here's some scripture for you. In the dedication of the temple, when they dedicated the temple, the priests could not stand. The cloud of the presence of the Lord filled the place. In the Old Testament, if a cloud filled the temple, how much more will in the New Testament now God's Holy Spirit come and flood this place and do things that he did just like in the Old Testament days. And for those of you that love the Psalms, Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures. There you go. It's a joke. Psalm 130 something. Psalm 139. Turn there. Verse 9, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness and let thy saints shout for joy. You know what I've found with depressed people? Having been one, depressed people can't shout. They can't. They won't. I should probably say it that way. They won't. If you have somebody who's depressed, if you can get them to shout unto God, their depression leaves. Vitamin D deficiency or not, you get them to shout unto God, power of God comes, depression goes. Some of you ought to shout. quo. Psalm 132, verse 9. Please clothe with righteousness, let the saints shout for joy. Isaiah 35, God's covenant people were to be filled with joy. I'm just trying to destroy this thing for a moment. Isaiah 35, 10, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Psalm 132, verse 8, arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. And again, Psalm 16, verse 11, Hebrews 12, New Testament. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him. And for the what? Joy, for the joy. For the what? For the joy. For the joy set before him. What does that mean? It means he understood that through his crucifixion, through his death, he would bring many sons to glory. The joy of the Lord. The joy. Joy would... Oh, he saw you delivered. He saw you free. He saw you loosed. He saw every curse and every bondage broken. He saw you. The joy set before his hope. Father, let this cup pass from me nevertheless. Oh, the joy. Oh, the joy of the redeemed. Redeeming you and me. It's love that kept him on a cross. And the prince of this world would never have crucified him had he known what would have happened. John 15 and verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. In John 16 and verse 24, now that you've asked, until now you've asked for nothing in my name, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. That's why when I saw your beautiful wife and I saw her healed and I heard the testimony of how they didn't have to do reconstructive surgery and I see you in church and my heart just exploded in your beautiful hair and cancer's no more and the devil's underneath your feet and you're more on fire than you've ever been and he's gonna pay for even trying to afflict you like that. I just, my heart just exploded with joy. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 2, 5:22. Joy is your strength in Nehemiah 8. Now, I've taught some of this to you before. I'm going to quickly tap this, and then we're going to move into a time of prayer and people are going to be set free. There is a whole group of people that need to be set free. Some of you have depression. You're not going to leave with it unless you want to. It can be generational, how depression and how a spirit of heaviness, how a spirit of despair works. It can be generational. So it can actually come down generationally to you. I was spending time, of course, with my beautiful family over the Christmas. And the kids started telling stories about me. And certain signs that I do and things that I do, like if I do this, they say, oh, if you do that, you're done. That means you better stop doing what you're doing, better obey God, because that's it. There's no three more strikes. They're like, right, when dad goes like this, dude, that's it. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's not but like, I don't know. An hour later, I'm on the phone praying for somebody who's in need of healing, and I hear a reel go off. How many of you know what a reel is? Okay, if you don't worry about it. I hear a reel go off, and I looked, and I was like, hey! And they're like, oh, sorry. But the funny thing was, I just saw my son do it. It's passed on. You say, well, those are traits. Those are things that are learned. Yeah, absolutely, they're learned. But there's things that can be passed down. You just did a whole study on some of this, right, with trauma. You know what I've found as a parent? If you didn't get healed and delivered of whatever the bondage is on the inside of you, you're passing that on, baby. I'm seeing the Nantes children grow up and very similar qualities to you and your wife. Fine qualities. I don't see any of the ugly other. There's probably no ugly ones, you know.
Amen.
The point is, we pass things on. Amen. Who your kids bond with is what's going to be passed on to them. And I found, and this is true, alcoholism can be passed on. Yep, right. Depression can be passed on. Heaviness can be passed on. Generational blessings and generational curses. You got to break them, and you got to train them and teach them. When you fail morally, you think it just affects you. You're wrong. You say, well, it's just me. It's my life. Yeah, no, it isn't. Not if you've given your heart to Jesus. Now, if you haven't, I would agree. It's you and Satan. It's your life with Satan. That's right. You should transfer kingdoms. Should transfer tonight out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, and you should be done. Say goodbye. When you fail morally, you think it's just you. It's no big deal. It's not just you. And your moral failure will unleash power even upon your family. And that needs to be averted and prayed for. It can happen. Let me say that. It's possible. It can happen. Seems that there's inherited propensities for generational sin and iniquity. That's why it's so important to live holy. I remember when I gave my life to Christ, there was certain habits I was trying to overcome. And the Lord spoke to me and said, we don't do that anymore, son. So you go to do that thing, he's like, we don't do that anymore. I'm like, oh, we don't? No. Oh, okay. Some of it was easy, just, oh, okay, we don't do that anymore. Other things, I had to answer 50 altar calls because I was stubborn. Stiff-necked, what you laughing at, Wally? I was stubborn and stiff-necked. And I needed deliverance. And, you know, that stubbornness is great when you get it all in God. I'm stubborn for God, too. But it took me a little bit to get there. Apparently, you had the same problem, Brother Wally. It can come through demonic power attaching itself, can come through trauma. I was talking a number of weeks back with Minister Lori. I don't know if she's in the sanctuary today. She heads up the bridge. And I'm going to read this. It was sent to me from a text book. Modern researchers suggest that the trauma of our ancestors experienced doesn't affect them alone. Some studies indicate that trauma can be passed down to future generations through genetics. With each new study, we're learning more about human genetics. This is geneticists and science. It's not scripture, but it is in scripture. Amen. So they're finding out what we know from scripture. This is a quote from Minister Lori. I loved it, so I just put it in my notes. Can I have some keys, please? Trauma doesn't exist in heaven. I love that. The trauma or pain our parents didn't process or get healed from gets passed down to the children. Whatever is not transformed by God in us is passed down. Gee, that's kind of intense, Pastor. Sure is. Jesus has come to set us free. A spirit of depression and bondage can come in many different ways. Grief. I've seen people grieve for years and years and years. And I'm no master of how to do grief. There's grief counseling. We have grief classes. I know that I'll have another opportunity to process grief because people die. That's a part of life. And we don't understand it. There is grief therapy, losing of a loved one. It's important to allow for people to communicate, what were you feeling? What was going on? To process that. Because otherwise, grief can be a place where people end up in bondage. And I believe it's Guatemala. In Guatemala, our friend Jason Adair, who comes and preaches here, there was this very demonic town in Guatemala, and they were doing a missions trip, and he just felt like the Lord wanted them to go there. Listen to this story. True story. He felt like the Lord said, go to that town. So he said to them, he said, I want to go to that town. They said, no, you're not, you can't go to that town. Well, why not? Because every missionary that goes there, they get beat up. People have been sent to the hospital. We don't go there. That's too dark. We don't go there. He said, no, that's the one we want to go to. And they said, well, are you sure? Should we pray about it? I said, we can pray, but the Lord spoke to me. We're going there. So they go. And they go on their outskirts of the town. And the people that were driving them stopped the car and said, we're not going any further. It's just beyond there. And there's a field and there's a lady that's chained to a mango tree. And she has laser accuracy with mangoes and she's filled with demons and she hurts people. And they've tried to set her free and it doesn't work. So he says, whatever. They start praying in tongues. They go, well, there's this lady. There's a lady and she's chained to a mango tree. And she's there. She sees them walking on the road. She jumps up, incredible vertical jump, grabs a mango, pulls it off the tree, burns it at one of the guys, hits him in the head and knocks him out. And he's down. Starts throwing mangoes rapid fire like a demonized person. And Jason Adair, my friend, who many of you know, got overcome by the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost. Runs at her, praying in tongues, hustles down there, lays hands on her, takes authority over the devil. The thing stops. He ends up leading her to Christ, and he talks to her, and he hears her story. And the story was one of incredible grief, where her baby got killed in their home. An accident took place, and she lost her mind with grief and could never get straight. Left her, they couldn't see her husband anymore, couldn't see her kids anymore. And they didn't know what to do with her, so they chained her out there and they would bring her food. She literally lived out there by a mango tree, chained to the mango tree. They took the chains off and they walked with her back to her house and her family was there. And she got restored to her husband and her child. And they needed a lot of counseling and healing, but she was in her right mind, clothed in her right mind. It all happened from grief, not able to process grief. Depression can be a physical problem. For me, if I eat a lot of sugar, I'm just saying, if I eat a lot of sugar, I struggle in my emotions. I don't know what the deal is. Well, I do, actually. Some of you are not even aware of how your body works. With food. Food's a hormone. I'm going over here. Amen, Pastor Daniel. No, don't talk about food. Come on, I didn't talk about it before Christmas, but the fast is coming up. I'm going to talk about it now. I remember some guy talking about this right before Thanksgiving. It's the one sin us Christians allow ourselves to do, gluttony. It was right before Thanksgiving. I was standing next to my mother, and my mother's like, nice. Thanks a lot. We ate anyway. But some of you got stuff going on in your nutrition. Some of your body's all messed up and you just think, well, the devil. No. I was just talking to somebody. I hope you don't mind I'm using an example. I won't point you out. Telling me I'm praying for diabetes. I need to get rid of diabetes. Okay, he's like, okay, what type of diabetes? Type 2. I said, I got the answer for you. I'm going to pray. God's going to heal you. You know, we'll believe God for a miracle. Stop eating sugar. Stop eating carbohydrates. The stupid Food and Drug Administration, the pyramid is made by Big Pharma. Turn it upside down and it's about right. Okay. Pastor Karen is praying in emergency tongues at home right now. But it can be depression can be connected to how you're handling your physical body, your emotions, your sleep. Maybe you don't take care of yourself. Some of you workaholics. You usually don't come to church on Wednesday night, but can come through anxiety. Psalm 39, verse 23. Search me and know my heart. Try me. Know my anxieties and my thoughts. See if I have any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Philippians says, be anxious for nothing but by prayer and petition. It can come through a reminded past failure. Oh gosh, I've had lots of experience of that. Lots. Past failure, things would remind me. I just had to regroove my neurological path. I had to renew my mind. That's not me. See, old me. Old guy's dead. I said the old guy's dead. Some of you play. Some of you dig yourself up and play with your dead self. Jesus help me. How would it be if you went and dug up a relative so you could spend time? You dig up your old man all the time. Oh, just let's play. It's like the Bride of Frankenstein, for God's sake. Lift your hands to heaven.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.